Judy.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hope everyone's okay.
Fine.
Kodesh Tov to both of you.
Thank you.
Kodesh Tov.
This morning's class is the Ta'anit Dibur preparation. We've been doing for the last few weeks, every morning. The handouts are located in the same location on the unique astrological times links. Today we are starting with Tehillim 10, and we're starting with the Psalm landing page. But before we start, I just want to make a quick connection to the truth that today is Rosh Chodesh. And that's an indication that every time we say or see Hashem's name today, up until sundown, we should mentally transform the letters into He Yud Vav He. So please do that now. Say those four letters with their root vowels. Hey, oh, ah, hey. And now we will start the class with L'Shem Yehud. L'Shem Yehud Kud Shabarichu Ishkinte Bid Hilu Ur Himu Ud Hilu Ud Hilu Ur Himu Le'akta L'Shem Yud He Bavav He B'Yehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah Ta'anit Dibur Mitzvah Lashon Tov Mitzvah Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadeinu Kononeh Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadeinu Kononehu
Malcha
Tehillim 10 is said on the second day of the monthly cycle. For those people who say Tehillim during a month, where they say all 150 psalms during the month, the Hebrew month, on the second day, this is the first psalm that you would say. This psalm tells of the wicked one's prosperity and his boasting of it until he says, "There is neither law nor judge." God pays no attention to the actions of mere mortals. The above kavanah is a traditional kavanah to use when saying this psalm. One of an alternative unwritten kavanah, because in my mind, that's not a kavanah per se. God pays no attention to the actions of mere mortals. That's a kavanah, but it's an untruth. So how do you look at that? As a vaccine against falling to comparing one person to another. God never compares you to others. He compares you to an ultimate standard of perfection that you will reach. This is the promise. This is the tikkun. You will reach that level. And so your comparisons should always be you to that perfection.
But yes,
man. If you don't consider yourself as being capable of reaching perfection. If you don't consider yourself, what is perfection for you? How can you reach it? Because consciousness applies. So the kavanah needs to have the concept of a vaccine an ability, not an ability to be aware of what is the maximum potential you have to reach. And ultimately, we are taught by the sages that maximum potential is to be at the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. The first word in this psalm, Psalm 10 for those who've just arrived, is Lama. This is a Hebrew word for why. It's a question word. And it is used frequently in tefillah or prayer. And I refer you to the introduction of the PDF file by Rabbi Sutton, Yearning for Redemption. I refer you to the introduction where it talks about the first words and the ideas of what those words mean. There are 18 verses in the Psalm 10, and this connects to the Hebrew word chai. And we all know chai means life. But other words that have a connection to the gematria of 18 is the Hebrew word chet, which is a sin. Chet is spelled chet, tet, aleph. Gematria is 18. Chet also has the indication of hatred. Hatred for no reason comes from this word. And it's really drives home the point that Hashem creates this against this. Everything is always in pairs, always opposites. There's a midrash about the Shabbat, that every day of the week has an opposite. Monday has Wednesday. Tuesday has Thursday. Sunday has Shabbat. Excuse me. Sunday has Friday. The only day that didn't have an opposite, didn't have a partner, was Shabbat. Every nation has an opposite nation, except for the children of Israel. Because what is the opposite of the children of Israel? When we reach that highest potential, it is Hashem. In the Midrash that I just mentioned, the current state of the children of Israel, well, we have not yet reached that perfected state, that achieving our tikkun. What is the opposite for the children of Israel? It is the Shabbat. We're now transferring to the yearning for redemption. And I'm starting to read the introduction. Exile and redemption. Exile followed by redemption. Exile is the historical drama. In exile, Israel feels abandoned. The soul feels cast out. This is necessary. It must seem to all outer appearances that Israel has been utterly deserted. The opportunity must always exist to choose evil, in this case, to afflict Israel, the pupil of God's eye. The force of evil especially must be made to think that Hashem has indeed abandoned Israel. Even Israel must flounder in the dark and experience the intense yearning that can only exist in a state of seemingly total separation from Hashem, the Beloved. Nevertheless, in the end, exile of the Shekhinah, of the souls of Israel in their sojourn through this world, of each soul in its different incarnations, will be seen as a hidden agenda for redemption. Part of this agenda involves making the evil man, which is the Satan, believe that the coast is clear and that nothing stands in the way of his realizing his plans. Unknowingly, however, he has signed his own death sentence. And in the meantime, Israel and the righteous of the nations, instead of turning away from Hashem, which is what the fool who gets trapped in the snare of the evil man does, they turn to him, to Hashem. They do not want to philosophize and talk about Hashem as much as to discover how important it is to talk to Hashem. They engage him in a conversation, a debate, to convince him, so to speak. They cry out to him, "The time has come to reveal the truth, namely, that you are truly with us. You have never left us and are only waiting for us to awaken to the reality of your presence in our lives, to see behind the veil of history, of historical events, to see all of history as a drama which leads to the final redemption." The purpose, this is an unwritten commentary, my commentary. The purpose of exile is to be redeemed. The first verse. Lama Adonai Heyoahe Tamo Biraho Talim Litot Batsara. Why, Hashem, do you stand at a distance, hiding your eyes from Israel's plight in times of adversity? The answer to this question is in the story that you all know. The man who goes to heaven and is speaking to Hashem, and he says, "Hashem, they just showed me my whole life. And I saw the footsteps of my life. And I saw many times there were two sets of footsteps. They told me one was mine and one was yours. But then there were many times the worst part of my lives, the most difficult part of my lives, that it was only one set of footsteps. Where were you, Hashem, during these difficult times?" And Hashem answers, "Who do you think was carrying you?" Understand the truth of this story. The second verse. Begawat Rasha Yidlakani Itafsu Blizimot Zuchashavu. In his boastfulness, the evil man pursues the poor man. Oh, let them be caught in the plots they themselves have conceived. Let me ask the question, is the poor man part of the negative system? What does it mean to be a poor man? The word for poor in Hebrew is ayin nun yud. It's an indication of a lack. And yes, when someone is in lack, it's part of the evil system, because peering through history, you see that there is never a lack. That everything that happens in the historical events is good. But how do we see all this chaos as good? Because we were the cause of the chaos. We created the chaos by doing actions that go against the spiritual laws. We're the one who creates the chaos. And the cleansing of the chaos is the chaos. There's an easier path. It's called the path of Torah. So we don't need to experience the chaos if we will only do teshuvah. If we will only return to the proper path. If we will only return to our connection to Hashem. The third verse. Ki hile rasha al ta'awa nafsho uvotzea berech niyet Adonai heyowahey. For when an evil man gives praise for having attained his soul's desire, and a greedy man utters a blessing over the booty he has stolen. Isn't it a mockery of you, Hashem? There are 10 words connecting to the 10 Sephirot. There are 32 letters indicating a connection to the 32 paths of wisdom. The fourth verse. Rasha kegova apo bal yidrosh en Elohim kol bezim motav. In his egocentric pride, the evil man holds his countenance aloft. He doesn't care. There is no God, is the thought behind all of his plans. One of the traits of Satan, that evil man, is his reactivity. He never stops his reaction. All of his making of his plans, what will be best for you when he is the prosecutor in the nightly bet din in heaven. All of his plans are reactions . He never considers that there is Hashem who is overseeing even him. He never perceives it this way. He never looks outside of his comfort zone, his box that he has created even for himself. The fifth verse. Yahilu dirakav, the claw at Marom, Mishpatecha Minegdo Kol Tzorerav Yafiach Bachem. You'll notice the difference between there's one word that is written differently than it is said. It's written differently than it is read is the proper way to refer to it. What is this word? Derech. Derech is a pathway. Derech Hashem is the name of one of Rabbi Lusako's books, The Path to God. What is the difference? It's written without the connection to Hashem, which is the letter Yud. It's written as a word that would be translated as His path. But it's also indicating that it's my path. Which of the two choices will you make? Is the His Hashem or is the His Satan? Will you connect to Hashem by following my path, meaning the path of Hashem? The English translation of verse 5. He thinks that his ways will always prosper. The fact that he is subject to the law of your judgments is far beyond him. It transcends his limited understanding. Yet to deceive all his adversaries, he speaks of them, vowing allegiance to Hashem's laws. Is he talking about a human being, or is he talking about Satan? Or does the verse apply to both? The sixth verse. Amar Bilbo, Bilibo, Baal Emot, Lador Vador, Asher Lo Bira. He says in his heart, I shall never falter. Evil will never befall me or my seed from generation to generation. Does that sound familiar? When you make your plans of where your wealth will come from, how you will achieve this wealth, do you actually consider your children? It's something to contemplate. The immediate reaction is, of course I thought of my children. That's why I want to build this business. That's why I want to make more money. That's why I want to do more. It's all for my children. But then you're so busy in that physicality of that idea that you don't have a chance to know who your children are. The seventh verse. Elapihu male umirmot vatoch tachat lishono amal vawen. His mouth is filled with vows to do good, but it is all a cover up of deceit and malicious intent. Under his tongue, there is only mischief and violence. The eighth pasuk. Yeshe b'marav. Atzerim, b'mistarim, Yaharog Naki Einav Lechelcha Itzponu. He sits preparing an ambush in the courtyards, in the hidden places, waiting to slay an innocent man. His eyes are on the lookout for those who serve in your host. The ninth pasuk. Yero bamistar kearye besuko. Yero lechato ani yachto ani bemashko. He hides in secret like a lion in his den. He lays an ambush to grab the poor man. He ensnares the poor man by drawing him into his net of lies. Always remember, every lie has an element of truth, or no one would believe it. If your intuitive sense says there's a lie here, look for the truth and see how it's surrounded by the lies, how it's enmeshed in the lies, how the klipot, the shells, cover the kernel of light. The tenth pasuk. Yedke Yashoa v'nafal be'atzumav chel kaim. He acts humble and gives the impression that he is bowed down under the burdens of his people. It is all so that the oppressed host will be taken unawares and thus fall under his power. There are two words that are written and read differently. Look at each one. The first one is Yidke. The Yud is exchanged for a Vav. The connection of the Vav is it's tying it to the previous verse. The Yud aspect of that word is creating the activity, the action. It doesn't tie it to the previous, it just acts on its own. The second word is you're missing the first two letters of what is written is not pronounced. It's the word chol. And I'm not sure what the meaning of chol is. I have to look it up. It's a word that sounds familiar to me. So please let me take a minute.
Hello?
Yes?
I'm not sure if it's a word you're referring to, but a bat kol we're familiar with, which means voice, you know, daughter of the voice.
Yes, that would be if it was spelled with the vav. I'm pronouncing it as if it's spelled with the, but it can be something else.
Okay.
Different vowel.
That what came to mind, so I'm going to mute it.
Okay, but I appreciate your thoughts, Hannah. There are two meanings to the word. One is occur, or an occurrence, and the other is a moat. What is a moat? It's a body of water that surrounds a castle, that surrounds a wall. It's a level of protection. Why is it not pronounced? If you look at the previous word to Kaim, it's there, Chel. It is pronounced. But here it's being telling us to tie the word together in the written form. In the pronunciation, it's done as two separate words. One thought that I have on that is the number two means a number of means separation. Why is it separated? Because when you're dealing with Satan, everything looks to be separated. When you're dealing with Hashem, everything looks and you know everything is united. The 11th verse. Amar belibo shakach el chistir panav bara alanetza. He says in his heart, Hashem is oblivious. He has hidden his face and is not involved in human affairs. He will never see for all eternity. The 12th verse. Kuma Adonai Heyoahe El Nesa Yadecha Al Tishkach Anavim. What's the difference between the way it's read and the way it's written? A letter Yud. Rise up, Hashem, Almighty God, lift up your hand to save your people. Do not forget the humble. The last word is humble. The last word in the Hebrew is humble. I just got a call that may have interrupted me. I just want to confirm that everybody's still with me, or do I need to call in again? Because that's usually when I get disconnected. So somebody please unmute your phone so that I know that you're there.
Okay, I'm still here.
I'm still connected.
Yeah, you're still connected.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So what I was saying here, with the additional yud in the written form, what you have is my, the yud at the end of a word, so ayin nun yud, means my humbleness. The vav would be dropped. And because the yud is like a vav, it's just when you lengthen the yud in the physical sense of the writing it, it becomes a vav. And then the last two letters, yud mem, means a sea, yam. So it's my sea of humbleness. Do not forget them. This is the hope of the psalmist, which is King David. The 13th verse. Al meni etz rasha Elohim amar belibo lo chidrosh. Why does the evil man mock Hashem? He says in his heart, you will not avenge. And in truth, Hashem does not avenge. This is what people really have great difficulty understanding, because Hashem is not human. Hashem is divine. If I do something against the laws of the Torah, does Hashem cut off my energy? Does he kill me? No. He gives me time to do teshuvah. He continues to provide my sustenance, no matter what I do, good or bad. Follow the laws or don't follow the laws. He just shares. We are his children, and he just takes care of us. Yes, there is a consequence to doing negativity, and that's chaos in your life. But he just provides and supports you through that process of experiencing the chaos. Because he wants you to grow. He wants you to accept your own responsibility for the chaos. He wants you to return to him by doing teshuvah. But he's giving you the free will to continue your exile. Chas v'shalom. The 14th pasuk. Ra'ita ki ata i'amal vaka'as ta'bit latet b'yedecha alecha yazov cheleka yatom atachita ozer. O God, you surely behold all that the evil man does. You behold his evil thoughts and spiteful rage. You even lend your hand to give him success in all his endeavors in this world. But Israel, your faithful host, leave it up to you to execute judgment against the wicked. You have always come to the aid of the orphan. In what way is Israel an orphan? Have you ever considered the children of Israel as orphans? Oh, no, they're adults. There's so much more in each verse that I'm even sharing with you. The 15th pasuk. Shivor Zeroa Rasha Wara Pidrosh Risho Valtimsa. Break, therefore, the strong arm of the evil man, and then when you come to examine the evil of those who were taken in, but who have not become evil, you will not find evil. For they will repent when they behold the judgment you have in store for the wicked. As students of Kabbalah, what is the meaning of the phrase strong arm? You should realize it's the left arm. It's the level of Giborah. Break the judgments of the evil man. The 16th pasuk. Adonai heyawahe melech olam waed avdu goyim me'artso. Hashem's eternal sovereignty will then be revealed forever, for wicked nations will have perished from his world. There are 33 letters. 33 is the number log, the number. Lag BaOmer is the 33rd day of the Omer. 33 is it's three, the number three in two levels, the level of the ones and the level of the tens. The level of the tens represents Zeron Pin. The number of the ones represents Malchut. Malchut on three means the tree of life. Zeron Pin with the number three means right, left, and central. The unity of Zeron Pin and Malchut is embellished, is displayed, is established by the number 33. The 17th verse. Ta'awat anavim shamata Adonai heyoahe ta'akim libam ta'akshivaz necha. When that time comes, we will know that you truly do heed the impassioned request of the humble. Hashem, O direct their hearts and minds to you. Let your ears always be attentive to their cries. Is King David saying that it's up to Hashem to change the hearts and minds of people? Does that ring true to you? What else might King David be trying to describe here? Or is he reaching the person who doesn't study Kabbalah, isn't aware of this, that perceives the world as if Hashem is doing the negativity and Hashem is doing the positivity, and the prayer is to request that Hashem save the person? These are questions that someone needs to contemplate. That someone is each and every human being. The 18th verse. Lishpot yatom vadach bal yosif od learots enosh min haret. To uphold the cause of the orphan and the downtrodden so that no wicked man or nation from anywhere on earth will ever again be able to take power to oppress humanity or conquer the entire earth. Rather, all will recognize that you are the judge and that your providence rules over all. It's a beautiful, beautiful verse. I recommend this verse be used as a repetitive phrase. Ten words indicating completion, indicating the ten sephirot. There are 35 letters, but when you realize that the first word has a vav missing, indicating that it's not yet corrected, not yet complete. But when it becomes complete, the verse will have 36 letters. What does the number 36 relate to? 36 tzaddikim, the revealed tzaddikim and the concealed tzaddikim. Now I will read the all of the Psalm in Hebrew. Lama Adonai Heyoahe Tamod Berahok Talim Leitot Batsara Begawat Rasha Yilak Ani Yitafsu Bin Zimot Zohashavu Ki Hilel Rasha Al Tavat Nafsho Votea Perech Niet Adonai Yohahe Rasha Kirgova Apo Bal Yidrosh Ein Elohim Kol bezimotav Yachilu dirakav Bekol et barom mishpatecha Minegdo kol tzorerav Yafiach bahem Amar belibo bal emot Ledor vador Asher lo bira elapihu male umirmot Watoch tachat lashono amal va'aven Yeshe b'marav chatserim b'mistarim Yaharov naki anav lehelka yitzponu Yero bamistar ka'arye besuko Yero latatof ani Yachtof ani b'mashko barishto Idke yashoach benafal batumal chelkaim amar belibo shakach el histir panav bara lanetzach Kuma Adonai Heyoahe El Nasa Yadecha Al Tishkach Anavim Amen Nietz Rasha Elohim Amar Belibo Lo Tidrosh Raita Ki Ata Amal Vekas Tabit latet biyadecha alecha yazo cheleka yatom atach hayita ozer shivor zeroa rasha Varati Rosh Risho Baltimsa Adonai Heyoahe Melech Olam Waed Avdu Goyim Me'artso Tawat Anavim Shemata Adonai Heyoahe Takin libam tashivaz necha yatum vedach val yosif od learot enosh min haaretz. This is the end of our class. Does anyone have any questions? And while I'm waiting for you to unmute, go ahead.
Yeah, I have a commentary, Hanok, because this is this psalm has been so touchy to me in the way that my country, Venezuela, is going through so much. It's like I have friends that says, we don't know how to pray anymore to God, that he can hear us and deliver us from what is going on. And I can see here in this psalm that it's exactly what, even though I'm not there, but I can feel what we all going through. I'm part of that country, and it really, really describes here what the country is going through. So,
Jasmine, share with the others the country you're referring to, because I know, but they don't.
Oh, Venezuela, South America.
And what the country is going through is a loss of economic support from their oil exports, a government that is not representing the interests of the people, only the selfishness of the rulers. I hope I'm saying it correctly. If you disagree with me, Jasmine, please say so.
Yeah, exactly. They have ruined the country to the core, and they're killing everybody that opposed them. There is a group of five very young men that they just they killed them, telling that they were terrorists, and the only thing they were trying to do was to lead the country to freedom, but they just killed them. You know, it was so coward. They were asking for, please, we're going to give up. We're going to don't kill us. And they just did. There was a massacre. I mean, at the moment that they were being massacred, they were, on their phones, they were telling everybody, please help us. They're killing us. And all this tragedy went to the Facebook and all this ways that they could communicate at that moment to everybody. So it was like, wow. Unbearable what's going on.
One of the levels of spiritual growth is to be able to feel the pain of another. It's one thing to feel your own pain. It's another to feel the pain of another.
Oh, that's exactly what I'm feeling. I'm here and I have Baruch Hashem, everything that I need. And even what I want, but, a lot of them, my brothers, sisters, I mean, not in the blood, but we are all Venezuelan people, and they're going through so much. It's like we say, when is this going to end? What's going to happen?
And this is the power of the Psalms, because it speaks to the feelings. From one moment to another, our feelings change. And the Psalms help us at each point. And as one becomes familiar with the Psalms, they'll know which Psalm to reach out to for the feelings that they have at any given moment. Jasmine, I'm sorry for your pain. I'm sorry that your country is experiencing this.
Thank you.
Are there any other comments or questions that people would like to make? Today's classes At 4:30 is a
mini Zohar
class. Go ahead, Anna.
Well, I feel like every time we say the verse for Israel, all countries, it's for all countries, and that as we pray for Israel, it's, to me, an antidote for all countries. Just as Jasmine feels for Venezuela, I see some of the same things happening in America, and my heart cries out. You know, I can remember just being so proud, and sometimes tears come to my eyes when we would just say the Pledge of Allegiance in the classroom with kids. So I take that energy verse that we say and have continued to say for almost 5 years now, that it's a prayer for all countries.
Well said, Anna. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, this is Marco. Listen to Jasmine. Fine, thank you. And listen to Jasmine saying that they were pleading on Facebook for someone to help them. I'm not sure if everybody's aware of Facebook and Twitter, they are censoring words. So anything that has, you know, kill or anything like that, they do. It looks like it's going through the vast population, but they censor it and they stop it right then and there. It really does not go out. I don't know if everybody's aware of the scandals within Facebook and Twitter. They are truly monitoring all words, and they're also monitoring the voice recognition as well. Like, you know, if you use a certain way of talking, dialect, and so forth and so on. So I know she was real, I could hear it in her voice and her concerns about no one reaching out to them, and it could get, absolutely could have been part of that, the censoring of certain words. It's been a big item, news items. There has been some undercover work, especially in Twitter, that they've uncovered a massive corruption in Twitter. So I understand, I feel her concerns about why no one reached out, and I'm just saying that may be a possibility, reaching out on Facebook. And I know it's a great communication to all, but there is corruption, totally deep corruption in those organizations.
They're also, as of 2 days ago, it was said that they're even taking photos that we post in order to be able to recognize for photo recognition.
Right.
It only appeared one time during the day.
But these were videos these were videos that they were airing at the same moment that it was happening.
So I
saw that. Wow.
I just brought that up to make everybody aware of the situation. You know, it's really going to come full blown. You're going to hear a lot more about Twitter and Facebook in the months coming. It's all political. It's all about politics. But
Marco,
you know,
thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing. Go ahead, Carla.
No, it's not me.
No, it's me, Brandy. I just want to tell Jasmine that I will pray for her and that God will give her peace, and that he will bring peace to her country.
Amen.
Thank you.
I would just thank you, Marco, for the comments on the issues of the technology of our time. And there is a lot of discussion going on. There's a lot of attempts to control media, a lot of attempts to control what people perceive, a lot of attempts that has changed. I've had conversations here with people with respect to how the way I was taught in school, that it was up to me to discern what was truth and what was not truth from the media, from letters from my friends, all different forms of communication. It's up to me to see the negative system behind the words, and it's up to me to see Hashem behind the words.
Right.
But my children have lost that teaching. It's been taken out of the schools for the last 30 or 40 years, maybe more like 20. But that perception, what Malka is saying is we need to be aware. And this, what is truth? As I have been trying to teach all of you, truth is relative, except for the one truth that there is Hashem, and everything is Hashem. And so what is perceived as not a truth by me may be someone else's truth, and I have to respect that. I have to recognize that I'm right and they're right. Is it right for these men to have been killed, as Jasmine has expressed? And the answer is, if it's true, no. No one has the right to take a life of someone else except Hashem. And Hashem has many methods of doing that. We need to feel the pain of the others. We need also to feel the joy of others. A simple rule to follow is there is no right or wrong. There's only Hashem. If you'd like to continue this conversation, tonight's class is questions and answers at 7 p.m. West Coast time. I bid shalom to each and every one of you. A wonderful, a freilich, a joyful Rosh Chodesh. Do not fall to the vagaries of Satan, who is telling us that the world is evil.
Mm-hmm.
The world is cleansing, yes, and its cleansing is big time, as we are living through the birth pangs of Mashiach. And as women, you know what the word birth pangs means. The travails of birth. The baby doesn't feels it as well, but it doesn't really know what it's feeling. The mother does. The father observes, but cannot truly know. And this is a deficiency in the male. But in the female, she can truly feel the pain of others because she has experienced that pain through the birth pang, the birth pains of her children. Rosh Chodesh Tov to all. Shalom to all.
Shalom.
Shalom. Love you, Jasmine.
Thank you, everyone.